The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry with Joe McGill.
Good morning. How are you this morning? I'm Joe McGill and you're listening to the Saturday Supplement. And I hope I find you well wherever you are listening to us around the world on RadioKerry.ie, on the Radio Kerry app, or on the traditional wireless 96 to 98 FM. Today on the programme, we have a very special programme. We'll be speaking to those charities that are the beneficiaries of the wonderful Radio Kerry Radio Bingo. So we'll be talking to the four charities involved: Kerry Hospice, Kerry Cancer Support Group, Recovery Haven, and Comfort for Chemo Kerry. We'll also have an episode of Artist's Kingdom profiling our wonderful artists that we have around this county. And we have Creative Kingdom, Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom, letting you know what's going on in the arts world. And there is a wonderful arts residency starting in the Sheamus Satira, so we'll be talking about that as well. Now, before I talk to our four charities, I'd like to welcome Fiona Stack, General Manager with Radio Kerry, to studio. And Fiona, this is going from strength to strength and has raised some amount of money and has raised the profile of these charities.
Yeah, and we're very grateful for that, Joe. And I suppose the reason I'm here this morning is to thank the listeners, because Radio Kerry just really facilitates it. The four charities do amazing work and we're very proud to support it and to be part of that. But the revenue that's been raised has come from the listeners. The original idea, we were approached by the four charities who worked together and we were looking at doing a radiothon with them, and then COVID hit and changed all our worlds, so we changed it into Radio Bingo, and it's been very successful. Hopefully the bingo players enjoy it. They know their proceeds are going to very good causes. We know all these charities are very well managed. There isn't a family in Kerry that probably hasn't been touched by the work that they do, and to be able to support them today, we're giving them each a cheque for 25,000 from the most recent proceeds, which is 100,000. But since it began in 2021, listeners to Radio Kerry throughout the county and further afield have raised over €500,000 for these charities, and they will tell you themselves, I'm sure, that this would have taken an awful lot of bucket shaking and other events to be able to do, and that they can plan now and they can make decisions with the support of the money. And that's what we're here for, you know. It's like amazing to be able to do that. All of us work and live in Kerry, have families, neighbours, friends affected, and these services really make a difference when you need it, and in a much lesser way, I hope, and everybody in Radio Kerry hopes that we do too in some way, by being able to do things like this, by being able to take care of all the administration, and Rona delivers the books and everything that goes with it, and Kevin and Melanie that support it as well. But in other ways, I hope we do too, you know, that if somebody is going through a cancer journey, whether it's at home in their own house or in the cancer bus going to Cork or Limerick, that we're a companion to them. We keep them up to date with what's going on in the world. Maybe when they, you know, for immunity reasons can't go outside themselves, we give them a bit of laughter across the day. We keep them up to date with the sports and the news and the music. And that for these cancer charities, when there is an issue over something, maybe a government issue or a planning issue or something that they need to raise in terms of services, that's what our news and current affairs programmes are here for, and your own programme too.
Mm. And that's the important thing about this morning as well. We're presenting the cheques, but we give these charities a platform and a voice to tell everyone about what goes on, because a lot of work goes on with these charities.
A huge amount, and I think, you know, more than the obvious, more than what people might think, you know, in terms of support for wider families and just very practical things, whether it's the bus service or a bit of you know, counselling or whatever might need it. Or even, I think, I'm sure the people on this journey share stories and share experiences and things that help them through it. So, you know, I think from talking to them in previous years, and hopefully they'll say the same with you this morning, the profile that it gives them is just as important as the money, because it acts as a springboard for other stuff, or when they're trying to make grant applications to government departments or things like that. Or if it is somebody at home who, you know, thankfully this hasn't come to their door yet, and it's overwhelming, I'm sure, when you get a diagnosis yourself or for a family family member, that you know where to go. Like, you can just put a phone call into one of these organisations. They clearly work well together. They clearly support each other, and they will be there. And there's such a culture in Kerry of community and helping and standing up and being there for people when they need it. And I really hope, and I'm sure, that will never change.
Yeah, and before we speak to the charities, if people want to get involved with the Radio Kerry Radio Bingo, how do they go about it?
They will hear the promos going out in Radio Kerry telling you where you can buy your books, or just ring us here at reception in Radio Kerry, or their details on our website. The bingo is played across the day. There's a chance, I think at the moment our jackpot is about 11,000, which would be a nice Christmas gift for somebody. So you are in with a chance to win. And we have regular winners, you know, of smaller amounts as well, that can, you know, you can treat yourself and your family, but you can know that the all profits are given to the charities. If they're not retained by Radio Kerry, they're passed on to the charities. So you are doing good. You are supporting the wider community. Mightn't be, you know, somebody you know at the moment, but it could come to your door. And even if it never does, you've helped a neighbour or a friend or somebody who needed it. And I'm sure the charities would take twice the money if we could organise it for them. So we're very glad and very proud. And the board of Radio Kerry have made a very conscious decision to continue with the bingo and to support these charities and what they do.
Well, Fiona, thanks a million for coming in to the programme. And we'll turn our attention to the charities now.
Thank you.
And on the line, we have Mikey Sheehy for Comfort for Chemo Kerry. So, Mikey, I suppose, firstly, tell people what is Comfort for Chemo Kerry, that people that wouldn't know.
First of all, Joe, thanks a million for having me on. And I suppose just want to acknowledge, for a start and at the outset, the sincere gratitude we all have at Comfort for Chemo for all the work that Radio Kerry have done in terms of shining a light on cancer services in Kerry, and for standing up with those local cancer charities for cancer patients and their families throughout the county. Huge thank you to yourselves, the whole team in Radio Kerry, and a big thank you as well to everyone who goes out every week and buys those Radio Kerry bingo books. I mean, the proof of the pudding is there to see 25,000 per charity is an incredible amount of money to raise. There's a lot of fundraising in that. And I think it needs to be recognised, the amount of hard work that goes in, both from yourselves and the people on the street who pick up their books weekly. I suppose from our perspective in Comfort for Chemo Kerry, we're looking to drive forward oncology and chemotherapy services in Kerry and in the southwest. I suppose, look, Joe, as we all know, demand for chemotherapy services continues to grow year on year. And even after moving into a new interim unit, in University Hospital Kerry, staff and patients in the oncology department in University Hospital Kerry are stretched, are crowded, because, like I said, the number of patients just keeps on increasing year on year. Cancer isn't slowing down, and neither is the demand in services. I suppose, for example, there was a couple of good news stories in terms of how cancer is treated in Kerry over the last 12 months or so. Kerry now has two consultant haematologists in University Hospital Kerry, which is a major step forward. But unfortunately, because the space is so cramped in the hospital, most haematology patients still have to travel to Cork for treatment because there's simply no capacity here for them. And that being said, on the other side of it, the Cork unit itself is at maximum capacity pretty much. So the system is pretty much overloaded at both ends. So for patients who are sick, they're tired, they're going through an emotional phase of their lives. Often they're immunocompromised. That journey is incredibly difficult to Cork. Why do we need a local chemotherapy unit? I suppose, in my eyes, it's essential. We now know that nearly one in two people in Ireland will face a cancer diagnosis at some point in their life. That pretty much means that every family in Kerry will be touched by cancer at some point. A dedicated local chemotherapy unit has really never been more needed for Kerry, for the southwest, and it would allow for people to be treated closer to home, which is at the heart of the slotted care model that the UHK and the government are pushing, which means that people are closer to the homes, closer to their families, and that has been proven and has been shown to improve outcomes, reduce stress, and allow for family support for those individuals who are going through chemotherapy. To put it simply, what's our mission? Our mission is to provide a state-of-the-art chemotherapy unit in Kerry for for the people of Kerry and for the people of the South West, a unit that meets modern standards. It gives patients dignity. It gives staff the space and facilities they deserve. And I suppose just touching on that, the staff that we have here locally in University Hospital Kerry, in the oncology unit, in the current chemotherapy day unit, they're incredible. The amount of work and passion they have in delivering the service in a really cramped space, you know, needs to be recognised. And I just want to, I suppose, just come back to the main point again. I just want to say a huge thanks for the support that initiatives like Radio Kerry Bingo give us. We are moving closer to that vision of a standalone unit on the grounds of University Hospital Kerry that will make life that little bit easier, simpler, more comfortable for cancer patients, for their families, and also for the staff working to the bone over in our current oncology unit.
And on that, Mikey, you mentioned the staff. Like, say, if you were to avail of this unit, if you were to raise the funds necessary for it, would the staff be there for to facilitate that then?
Yeah, so look, I've been very proud to sit on the HSC Health Forum South for the last 6 years, where I continually bring up this this unit and the need for this unit. And I have been assured by the HSC that the staffing needs are there for it. We literally were looking for bricks and mortar. That's what we need. We're looking for bricks and mortar. And like I said, it's, you know, it is threefold in that sense. It is patients who are going through their chemotherapy regimes. They're on their cancer journey. Those outcomes, like I said, even though cancer diagnoses are becoming more prevalent, that's because detection has become a lot better in terms of scanning, in terms of early diagnosis. So numbers are increasing, but on the flip side of it, outcomes are also getting better, Joe. Cancer isn't the same story that would have been 40 years ago. You know, I'm proof of that as I'm talking to you here. I went through my own journey 12 years ago. And again, I can attest to the incredible staff that we have currently operating out of that cramped unit in University Hospital Kerry, between the nurses, between the consultants, the registrars, the porters, the catering staff. They all have a huge part to play. And this unit would support them in delivering that state-of-the-art, that modern, that world-class facility that the people of Kerry deserve, that the people of the South West deserve.
Yeah, and you talk about the money needed to be raised. It's quite a substantial sum. How do you go about raising that? I know we're mentioning the Radio Bingo, but how else do you go about fundraising that? Or do you get state help, or is it all fundraising, or what is it?
It's a mix. So obviously, like you said there, it's a large capital outlay in terms of the unit itself. But I mean, what we're fundraising for at Comfort for Chemo is to add that level of comfort within the unit once it's built. It's to add the comfort level. It's to allow patients dignity. It's to allow them space. It's to allow their families to enter the unit. It's to allow their families to support them. It's to allow the staff, again, that space to operate at their optimum. How do we fundraise? Like every other charity, Joe, we're very dependent, and we are very thankful to the very generous time and fundraising skills of the people of Kerry. And they have come out in their droves, and we have to be very, very thankful, from everything from skydives to marathons to half marathons to bake sales, to the generosity, for example, of the Lions Club in Tralee, who have a bucket collection for us over Christmas. It's all of these small local entities, and it's, I suppose, that's what it all comes back to. It all comes back to the local element. It comes back to people understanding and people wanting to support locally. And again, it's coming back to the Radio Kerry Bingo. You're supporting four local cancer charities that are supporting cancer patients and their families throughout the South West. So like I said, a huge thank you to yourselves, but also a huge thank you to the people who roll up their sleeves week on week, month on month, in terms of supporting ourselves at Comfort for Chemo Kerry and also the other three cancer charities.
Yeah, very good. Well, Councillor Mikey Sheehy, thanks a million for coming on and talking to us and telling us all about
Comfort
for Chemo. Mikey Sheehy there for Comfort for Chemo Kerry. And we're going to be speaking to the rest of the charities, the beneficiaries of the Radio Kerry Radio Bingo, after this break.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shop and Seafood Bar, the Mall Tralee. Treat yourself to the freshest takeaway fish and chips today, right in the heart of Tralee.
Now, I hope you're enjoying the programme so far. We are speaking this morning to the beneficiaries, the charities of the Radio Kerry Radio Bingo. And we're presenting cheques of 25,000 each to the beneficiaries this morning also. And since May 2021, 519,000 euro has been raised. It's a significant amount of money. Now, let's meet more of the charities in studio. I'm delighted to say we're joined by Jenny Tarrant from Kerry Hospice. We have Breed Dylan from Kerry Cancer Support Group, and we also have Marissa Reedy from Recovery Haven. You're all very welcome. How are you? And a happy Christmas to you.
You too. Thrilled to be here.
Marissa, we'll go to you first. Tell us, for people, I suppose, that are living under a rock now, but tell us about Recovery Haven and what you do there.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, delighted to be here, and obviously thank you to Radio Kerry for having us and for what an amazing presentation of money again. We're thrilled. So Recovery Haven, I suppose, for anyone who doesn't know, is a cancer support charity offering, I suppose, the non-medical supports to people who either have cancer diagnosis or who are bereaved or who are, I suppose, trying to cope with a diagnosis of a loved one. And I suppose that's the important part, because a lot of people even still think that it's just for cancer patients or people who are on a cancer journey, but in fact it's for everybody who is touched by cancer, I suppose, is the easiest way to describe it. So there's everything from counselling to support groups, bereavement support, phone calls, classes, courses, huge range of service. And we celebrated our 15th anniversary this year, and just to see, I suppose, where it started to where it is today is phenomenal.
Yeah. Where is it located again? And that, I suppose, your headquarters or your base, it has evolved so much, like you say, over the last few years.
Absolutely.
Well.
So we're based in Higgs Terrace in Killarisk. So if you come out, the way I always describe it, if you come out to the county buildings and look straight down to Manor, we're there on the right,
yeah,
just a little
Tralee,
bit down
yeah,
there. Yeah,
yeah,
in Tralee. And then, of course, we have outreach service in Killorglin twice a month. And then we sporadically then have, we're in Carsevine. And I suppose that's something that we're looking into more for 2026, because I suppose we're very conscious of, I suppose, people's distance from Tralee or distance from Killarney or Killorgan or whatever. So that's a real focus for 26, is to get into the wider community and, I suppose, the further away destinations like South Kerry or West Kerry.
And when you mean get into, is it to have a presence there or to put, you know, have your services there?
Yeah, so yeah, it'd be similar to Killorgan, where we have our, I suppose, our outreach service in Killorgan twice a month, and that we would hope to be doing in South Kerry or in West Kerry as well, where we have a presence there, be it once a month, twice a month, where we have our counsellors, our complementary therapists, just our I suppose staff team are there. And so in case, instead of having to come to Tralee to find out more or to avail of the services, we'd hope to have it.
Yeah.
Out in the community.
Yeah, excellent. Mentioning the place in Tralee, you know, the sensory garden and everything that's inside there just means so much to the people, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I suppose, like, we've had a big development there in the last 2 years because of the growing numbers, which in one way, I suppose, people go, you know, there are more people being diagnosed, but we look at that as it's fantastic that they're coming and that they know we're there. And when you talk about even the garden or whatever, and you know, it's the amount of people that are coming in, I always kind of tell this story that a lot of people are kind of nervous or afraid to come in because they see it as a, you know, they don't want help, or they're afraid to ask for help, or they don't know what they're coming into, or a lot of them don't know what they want. So I think the story that I tell of this lady who, she had been diagnosed and she was from the local area, and she was kind of had done the circuit a couple of times and trying to decide, will I or won't I, do I need to do Anita? And she eventually came in and she told us the story that she had walked around the block numerous days and said, will I or won't I? And I think she was asked when she came in, why today? What made you change your mind today? And she said, because I saw somebody leaving smiling.
Oh.
And that's just, yeah, I suppose that's the vibe we want to give,
yeah,
is that there's nothing to be scared of. Yeah, of course, what you're going through is scary, but I suppose that's the best, you know, the best thing you can do then is comfort, is support, and we guarantee you, you'll leave feeling, you know, a little bit lighter. We're not going to solve the world's problems, but at least people come and they just feel that support, whether, you know, whatever you're going through. Again,
yeah,
like I say, whether you have a diagnosis yourself or you're, I suppose, trying to cope with diagnosis of a loved one or a bereavement or whatever it might be, just to know that there are professional people in there, trained, and know exactly what you need and are there to help whatever way they can.
Yeah, because like if you get a diagnosis, it's hard enough for you to get your head around that and everything that goes with that, treatments and everything else, without trying to, you know, I suppose, get the courage then to take another step like that. But it is about taking that first step, or just giving a call or ringing or dropping in or whatever.
That's exactly it. And I suppose that's a very important point, that just pick up the phone and, you know, there's somebody there at the other end to talk you through what's going on, whether you're hugely emotional or you don't know what to do, or you don't know, like I say, you don't really know why you're ringing or what you need, or you just know you need something. And I think that's the most important message to get out there, is whatever you need, we will tailor, we will talk, we'll talk you through it. And, you know, just know that there's somebody there who will understand, first of all, and who has, will put you on the right path.
And there's a listener there as well for people, you know, I suppose, that want, you know, like, family is brilliant and it's great support, but sometimes you might want to hear an ear outside of the family, or get an ear outside of the family.
Yeah, and you know what it is too, we find is, you know, we have our trained listeners who are, they're, and I love the name, because that's literally what they do, and they'll talk you through what services we have. But I suppose their most important role is to meet you, be it on the phone or at the door, and bring you in and put, get you at ease and listen to what's going on and kind of explain to you like what's available and all that. But it's just the fact that there is that somebody else that's, you know, because we found, I suppose, with a lot of people coming in, that they've said they don't want to burden their family, or they don't want to, you know, that it's something that they feel they can't share, because people, you know, I suppose when a diagnosis comes into a family, whether it's yourself or someone else, that whole, you know, that whole family is dealing with it, and they're trying to come to terms with it, and they're probably stressed, and they're, so I suppose a lot of the people we deal with who come in or who ring, like, I don't want to talk, I don't want to put this on my family, I don't, they're going through enough. So I suppose that's where it's great to just come in and have that conversation, the cup of tea, and see where you go from there.
How does the Radio Kerry Radio Bingo help then?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this for the last couple of days, and because I suppose the last few weeks, like, we are blessed here in Kerry that, and Fiona spoke about it, like, the sense of community is incredible, and the support, and I'm sure the other charities here will attest to it as well, the amount of support we get from the community is, it's just overwhelming, it's humbling. And for us, I suppose, Fiona, again, I suppose, mentioned it, it's, you can plan, like, we were, you know, you have to do budgets and you have to do fundraising, and we do get support from the HSC and the, you know, the National Cancer Control Programme, but we still need to fundraise probably $250,000 a year. And to have, to try and put a budget together at the end of the year and see where, and, you know, to have this kind of money and know this kind of money is coming is, it's priceless, you know. And I think Fiona said that Radio Kerry is just the vessel, but without Radio Kerry, you know, this wouldn't happen. But again, I completely concur with her about the listeners. Like, it's the people who are buying the bingo books and who are, you know, they're the ones who are creating this check today. And, you know, we can put that in our budget, and it's such a relief to have that kind of, you know, to have that feeling of security, I suppose.
Yeah, very good. Marissa, stay with us. We will be speaking to the other charities as well as the programme goes on, but we'll take a break and we'll have more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you by Quinlan's The Mad Monk in Killarney, serving the finest seafood in a cosy modern atmosphere. Book your special experience today at seafoodbar.ie.
Now, I hope you're enjoying the programme so far. We are speaking to the beneficiaries, the charities of the Radio Kerry Radio Bingo here this morning. We presented cheques of 25,000 to each of them, and since the Radio Kerry Bingo has been going since May 2021, 519,000 has been raised, a testament to the generosity of our listeners and the impact of the work that these charities do. In studio, I'm delighted to say, we have Recovery Haven's Marissa Reedy, we have Kerry Cancer Support Group, Rita Island, and we were speaking to Comfort for Chemo Mikey Sheehy earlier, and now I'm delighted to say I'm going to speak to Kerry Hospice Ginny Tarrant. Ginny, you're very welcome. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you for having me.
And Ginny, will you tell us I suppose about Kerry Hospice and the work you do?
I suppose Kerry Hospice was formed initially back in 1990, and the first, I suppose, the aim was to make life comfortable people at end of life and their families. So they set out in 2007, we opened a day unit in Tralee, but before that we had the community beds in the community hospitals to help people stay closer to home. I suppose then Another expansion was the 15-bed inpatient unit, which has been at over 100% capacity since it was opened in 2017. We opened it in November 2017, initially opening 5 beds, and it was supposed to open 5 more in December and 5 more in January. And by the end of November, we had the 15 beds opened. So it has been going full whack since the very beginning. Nobody has to get sick in life, but unfortunately they do, and it's great to be able to provide comforting facilities for them when they do. Inside in the palliative care unit, we have wonderful staff that look after both the patient and their families, and they take care, wonderful care of them. And it helps us because I'm involved in the fundraising, and that's our job and our role. All facilities in the palliative care unit, anything that the people get is provided by funding raised by the people of Kerry. We don't get any grants or anything like that. Mm. So we are very, very grateful to Radio Kerry, especially with this Radio Kerry bingo, because it does highlight our charity and all the other charities besides. And it helps us fundraise along the way. People are fantastic. The public are fantastic for giving money towards us. And I suppose that's because more and more people are using our facilities inside. We have, lately we brought on 2 advanced nurse practitioners, one for North Kerry and South Kerry, and they go out into the community educating the staff in nursing homes and things like that. So it just helps them to look after people at end of life, rather than to be bringing them from nursing homes into the hospital waiting on trolleys and things like that. And that has helped hugely, even in the A&E, rather than be bringing people in there, because I know my own mother-in-law was sitting in a trolley inside there at one time, and I remember saying it's terrible to see older people in that. Mm. So it is nice to see that they're looked after. I suppose the other thing, our biggest expense coming forward is, because our unit is at full capacity, we're expanding now, and the sod has been turned and the first bits of foundation went in just the other day. We're adding 5 new rooms. We're upgrading the facilities in the unit for the families and for the staff inside. It's going to be a cost of over €6 million, but we have a good lot of it raised, and the people of Kerry are really supporting us, and Radio Kerry has really supported us too with advertising it as well for us.
Yeah, because like when you talk about that money, and I'd imagine the way building is, it kind of changes every year as well, and you know its costs are just unbelievable. But it's amazing, and I've interviewed a lot of people, you know, that maybe had family members there or have a connection to the place, and they've started their own kind of fundraisers. I know my own cousins, in memory of my uncle, did it recently from the north down to Valentia Island. You know, they did a cycle so it's amazing the way people do kind of, you know, come back.
And they come out, they do it off their own bat. Mm. And like, you have calf sales, we have concerts, we have, I suppose, charity walks, sponsored walks and things like that. So, I mean, there's a lot of people out there, and they do, I don't know how they do it, because when you lose somebody, you are at your most vulnerable, but they get up and they come on and they pay it back tenfold, really, by fundraising for the hospice again. And I suppose we are very grateful to all the people that do those events.
Very good. We talked about all the charities here, about the other fundraisers they have as well during the year, but we're also joined by Kerry Cancer Support Group, Breeda Dyland. Breeda, you're very welcome. Happy Christmas to you.
And, hi, Joe.
And tell us all about Kerry Cancer Support Group.
Joe, Kerry Cancer Support Group was founded in 2007, but they decided that the thing that was most needed by the people who were using the support group at the time was transport. So in 2010, our HealthLink Transport service was founded. And Marisha spoke earlier about Recovery Haven and where it was and where it is now. And we have really, changed over the years. When we started in 2010, it was a bus going twice a week it went up on a Monday and came home on a Friday, picked people up. That was the way it went in the beginning, and it was a very small vehicle. It jumped from there to now, and we have 4 full-time vehicles going 5 days a week, covering 8 different centres.
Whoa.
And on occasion, we would go to Galway for stem cell treatment, or to Dublin as well, if we're asked, or if the hospitals contact us. And that's really how we operate. The hospitals refer to us. And that's fantastic in one way, that we're trusted that much as, I suppose, a small local charity, really, that's, you know, not state funded. We don't get any funding from the state, and it's all supported by, like, that community connection, community support, people doing fundraisers for us. And again, Radio Kerry Bingo has been like backbone funding, really, that we know is coming. Again, like the other said, that you can kind of, I can sit down in January and I can say, well, the budget, this is something that is coming. This is something that's mentioned every day, that you hear it in the morning when Andrew and Elaine call out the numbers, and, you know, that money is going to be there. And you can kind of say, well, we can develop a service now based on this.
Mm.
And that's fantastic to know, because, like, we don't have the luxury of maybe, you know, a bit of state funding coming in. So I can't factor that into my budget. But I have been able to, in the last few years, budget, you know, saying, well, Radio Kerry Bingo will be coming.
Yeah.
So that is fantastic. And we have been able to develop services and pilot different services based on that. And, like, looking forward into developing them. Like, last year we did what we called connecting transport, I suppose. While our service works fantastically, and we spoke about taking the first step, like, our motto is a journey, you know, that saying, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And we'll help you to make that journey and to take that step. And people get into our vehicles every day and take that very frightening, I suppose, step of starting treatment, or sometimes going for that first scan, or that, because we take people for all of those things as well.
But on that, in relation to the buses, having spoken to the drivers and, you know, the service users, it's an amazing job that drivers do, and the sense of community on that bus, like the sensitivity of, maybe sometimes you mightn't want to talk coming down after treatment, or, you know, and other times there is that kind of shared experience that people talk about. And there's a sense of humour as well, you know, which you wouldn't think would be on such a bus.
It's fantastic. Like, people are so sick of hearing me saying the words crack and cancer shouldn't go together in the one sentence, but they really do. They do, you know, on the buses and on our services, and our drivers, while they never said, you know, when they started with us, this is what, you know, but we do, we talk to them, we have, you know, like, we have well-being days for them, where we bring them all into a room and they get to talk about, you know, things that they might have come across, or tough things that they go through. But they're fantastic. You know, you couldn't go out and write a job description for what our lads do. Or that we have women as well who volunteer drive with us, and they're just like, it makes our jobs running the service and organising it and going out and doing the fundraising and doing all of that so much easier, to know and trust those people to go out and look after our service users. You know, and like, we have the option as well on all of our buses that, like, people, you know, if they were going in their own cars or a family member was bringing them, they can bring a family member or a friend, or they can pick someone up off the street and just bring them with them.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Yeah. Because you wouldn't be going on your own if you were going in a car with somebody, you know. So they can bring somebody with them if they want.
Yeah, that's brilliant to hear.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about the fundraising efforts, because I can imagine it's challenging as well when you have to raise a lot of this money by yourselves. But we are talking to Radio Kerry, Radio Bingo Charities, Kerry Hospice, Kerry Cancer Support Group, Recovery Haven and Comfort for Chemo Kerry. We'll have more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across the county. Serving the freshest seafood to Kerry families since 1963.
This is the Saturday Supplement. I'm Joe McGill. If you want to get in touch with us during the week, you can email us at jmcgill@radiokerry.ie. And remember, that's where you email your photos to. Wednesday, midday Wednesday, before the first Saturday of the month, and our theme, of course, is 'Tis the Season. So that is to get the brain going when you're taking your photos over the festive season. I'm delighted today in studio we have the charities that benefit from the Radio Kerry Radio Bingo, and they are Kerry Hospice, Kerry Cancer Support Group, Recovery Haven, and Comfort for Chemo Kerry. And earlier we spoke to Mike Sheehy from Comfort for Chemo Kerry, and in studio we have Ginny Tarrant from Kerry Hospice, we have Marissa Reedy from Recovery Haven, and Breda Dylan, Kerry Cancer Support Group. You've a lot of other fundraisers that you have during the year as well, and a few good ones are coming up.
We do, Joe. People are fantastic, and I'm always amazed at the ideas people come up with, and the things, you know, they just are amazing. But we do have a few things coming up. I suppose the main ones really coming Christmas, obviously, the Christmas Day swims. Our big one is the Inch, out in Inch Beach. What a fantastic place to be going on Christmas morning, you know. So we have a swim every day, every year there. It's at 12:30.
Whoa,
on Christmas Day, so it gives people a little bit of time to get up and open the presents and have the fry.
Yeah,
even though they shouldn't be doing that before the swim, but anyway, they tend to do. They have the morning. They have a little bit of the morning time to get back to Inch.
Yeah.
First, you know, we just had, which would normally happen a little bit later, but we had Gina Hurley. He did her Monster Christmas raffle. She's fantastic. She's a powerhouse. I mean, that woman is just amazing. She did that last Saturday night live on Facebook.
And that went well.
Oh, she's unreal. Yeah. That woman is just, you know. And like the others said, you know, you have all sorts of everything. There are table quizzes over Christmas. There's the Wren's Day, of course. You have the Wrens going out in Dingle and in North Kerry. And we're so thankful to all of them.
Yeah.
Actually, I had a guy ring me today, Padraig Bunyan from North Kerry. He's having his 40th birthday, and that will be... That'll be a night.
Yeah.
I want to wish him happy birthday.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
But isn't that the thing? Like, you can't go to the same well every time either when you're fundraising. It's great to hear all the variety and what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And Ginny, Ginny Tarrant, Kerry Hospice, what have you coming up, or what have you going on for fundraising?
At the moment, I suppose we have our Light to Remember. It's a virtual tree, and you just log in and you do your dedication and donate. Or we, in the stall, we have a yellow ribbon tree kind of in conjunction with that, and people put their yellow ribbons on the tree, and there's local shops that are selling the ribbons for us. And then the St. Stephen's Day Walk is coming up on, obviously, St. Stephen's Day, when all the junk has been eaten and everything like that in there. And there's a Churchgate collection coming up in Castle Island. So there's quite a lot of different various fundraising. And of course, the public are fantastic for turning up and turning out at all these things.
Yeah.
So it's great. It's fantastic altogether to see them.
Excellent. Marissa?
Yeah, I suppose...
Recovery Haven, you should say,
The ladies have kind of summed it all up there, I suppose. Mm. I said it before, but, you know, the amount of variety, I suppose, first of all, but just the goodwill and the generosity of people, even if it's when we're out in the street for our Flag Day, or people come to you, like you said, with the maddest of ideas, and it's just the fact that they've thought about you and that they're aware of what you do. And I suppose, and the lady said the same, just to stress how much that means to us and how important it is, because we can't do what we do, genuine, and I know people say it and it's a cliche, but we can't do what we do without the funding of the people of Kerry. So I suppose from me and Recovery Haven and all of us in here, just, I suppose, to thank them. And just over this Christmas, we have a Santa run on the 21st in Blenerville, and we have the annual quiz in Kilflin. I think we're nearly all involved in that on the 27th. So look, all the details of everything, I suppose, are on our websites and stuff. But
and what's your website, and where can people go if they want to get involved with Recovery Haven?
Yeah, so it's recoveryhavenkerry.com, or you'll find us on Instagram and Facebook as well. Yeah.
Excellent. And Ginny, Kerry Hospice.
Kerry Hospice Foundation, Facebook and Instagram.
Rita.
Kerry Cancer Support Group. We're on website, Facebook, Instagram, the whole lot.
Brilliant. Well, such worthy charities to benefit from the Radio Kerry Radio Bingo. And you can hear why this morning. You all spoke so well and so passionately as well. And I think that's important as well. The great people that these organisations have, it's a testament to the way you speak. So well done. And thanks a million for coming in. And continued success and well done on the great work you do. Because it's not just about fundraising as well. It's about the people and everything you do as well. So I'm delighted to... that you got your checks this morning. And I want to wish you all a very happy Christmas, and thanks for coming on this morning.
And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now we're going to take a break for the news at 10, and in the next hour we have a new documentary series called An Artist's Kingdom, where we profile 8 different artists from around the county, and that's 8 different episodes, and episode 1 will be coming up after the news. And in this first episode we will feature Tralee based artist John Hurley. And then at 10:30 we have our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom, letting you know what's going on in the arts world around the county with Kate Kennelly and others.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you by the new Family Fish Box at Quinlan's Seafood Bars, packed with golden fish goujons, fresh squid, delicious prawns and tasty homemade chips. Order yours to take away today.
Now we're into the second hour of the Saturday Supplement, and I hope you're enjoying the programme so far. A little later on at 10:30 we're going to have our Creative Kingdom, letting you know what's going on in the arts world. And speaking about the arts world, Connie Broderick and I have produced a new series called An Artist's Kingdom, where we profile 8 artists around this county, and there's 8 episodes in the series, an episode for each artist. And in this first episode we're going to hear from Tralee based artist John Hurley.
This documentary is a Kishta Communications production, funded by Cumashuna Man with a television licence fee.
This is Artist's Kingdom, an 8-part radio series that takes listeners on an immersive journey into the diverse and vibrant world of artists in County Kerry. Through the lens of creativity, we will explore the unique cultural landscape that has inspired generations of artists, shaping their work and contributing to the rich artistic tapestry of the region. The series will gather some of the finest artists in the county, where they share a dedication to their art. We will explore some of the most impressive and interesting Kerry-based artists today, who are truly doing their county proud. Professional artist John Hurley is inspired by the drama and majesty of Ireland's wild Atlantic coastline. His painting is intuitive and physical, a powerful response to the elemental forces that stir the seas and buffet the headlands of the West Coast. John is a graduate of the National College of Art and Design, where he studied the Art and Design Education Honours Degree course. He's based full-time in County Kerry, where the rugged coastline of the region informs his landscape painting. He's become a highly collectible artist, according to the Sunday Independent art critic, and his work is in many private and corporate collections. He's been the featured artist in various publications, including the prestigious Book of Interiors and Ireland's Homes, Interiors and Living.
Hello, welcome, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
My name is John Hurley. I'm an artist, musician, based in Tralee, County Kerry. You're in my small premises. It's an art gallery which I opened in 2005, having been frustrated by several commercial galleries stocking my work but not selling enough for me. So I said I'd take charge myself. So I'm basically an independent artist. And geographically, we're on Denny Street in Tralee, the heart of the town, and I'm blessed to have this premises. I've had several over the years since 2005, but this is the most compact and affordable and smack in the middle of town, and grateful to have it.
John was born and reared in Dublin.
I'm originally from Dublin. I was born in Inchicore in Dublin in 1960, showing my age, but went to Sing Street School. Went to the College of Art, did the degree course in Art and Design Education. I did some teaching in Sing Street for a couple of years, part-time basis. And being the early 80s, in fact the late 70s, and when I started work, I was fortunate to get the interview for the bank, the AIB. And so, not that I liked it very much, but I spent 20 years there. Culminating in a small pension, believe it or not, last year. But I did a lot of other stuff part-time, so my art practice and my musical practice were all done on a part-time basis.
John wasn't the only creative member of his family.
My mother was accepted into the Grafton Academy of Dressmaking, but she didn't particularly like it, believe it or not. But I think it's come from my mother in particular, and her mother too. They were great dressmakers, and I think a lot of that creativity and being colour conscious has come from them, from both of those. My father, great man for a sing-song, so the musical aspect or part of me probably comes from there. He is a cameraman who moved to Dublin at 19, joined the Guards, as they did. But we got a taste for Kerry growing up. We have a small place in Kinmare, and when I met my wife, she's originally from Raheny, but her people all from Fianna. So we had a mobile home in Fianna for 5 years when the kids were small, and we got a taste for it. And I said, look, we'll have a go. Took leave of absence from AIB. My father thought I was mad, and essentially never went back. And it was looking back through what I've done, even through my notes earlier, I realised, you know, some of the things were gambles. You know, some of what I did was taking a chance.
Not many people would leave a steady job in the bank for a career in the arts world, but John made that brave step.
It was a brave decision, and it took me the bones of 5 years to desensitise myself from the whole 9 to 5 of the bank, and it was quite a responsible job in its day, and in a way I was grateful to have it, but I was never satisfied. I wanted to try and develop my creativity, but you know, the 80s, 90s, Ireland wasn't doing too well at the time, so it was a big chance to jump ship from this pensionable job, particularly with two toddlers. But, do you know, overall it has worked out, and the fortune favours the brave, I believe.
During his time working in the bank, John kept the artistic flame alive by continuing to create and display his work.
Well, as I say, I did the 5 years part-time doing the art and design degree course in art and design education, and I had several shows in Dublin, you know. For example, I had an AIB group headquarters show. The curator of the AIB collection, Dr. Francis Rouen, put on that show for me. That was in 87, I think. I did a solo show in the United Arts Club. You know, I did a two-man show with Owen McLaughlin, a well-respected artist, in the Peacock Theatre Gallery. That was all, you know, between 87, 88, 90. So I was keeping it alive then. I was doing everything part-time, do you know what I mean? And when I moved down, again, I associated with Louise O'Donnell, who had a lovely gallery here called the Wellspring Gallery. I did two solo shows with her when I moved down, you know, in 98, 2000. And that broke me here to some extent. I had, you know, some of the hotels bought my work. And then I did a solo show with Noel Campbell-Sharp in The Origin, her gallery in Dublin, in Harcourt Street in 2002. The same show went down to Kilreelig in West Kerry in 2003. And it just gradually built up my profile during those years and gave me the confidence then to look, maybe I could make a living, or at least a partial living from this, while all the time supporting myself, playing music, you know, original music, a lot of it, and then some covers too. But, you know, between the two, we survived, you know.
John is not only an artist, but an accomplished musician and songwriter.
Yeah, I've always been a songwriter since I was a teenager, and I had some songwriting success in the early years with Tommy Fleming. He's recorded many of my tunes, and Niamh Cavanagh has covered a few of my songs, the Eurovision winner. I did several support acts for the likes of Tom Robinson, Glenn Tilbrook, Mary Black, Paul Brady, all this, you know, did several TV things, The Late Late Show, when Gay was there, that's how long I'm going back.
And then I did a late show with Pat Kenny and other things like that. I was commissioned to do a musical around the time I moved down here, so which kind of funded me for a couple of years, took pressure off. I wrote the music for a show called Seagull's Dance, which had a 2-week run in the Dríocht Theatre in Dublin. That was, the show went off, and it took me about 4 or 5 years to write everything together. But in 2006, we had a 2-week run, and Larry Tracy was the sponsor of that, and he wrote the original storyline. He was originally English but of Irish descent, and he funded the show. He also commissioned me to paint 20 pieces based on the storyline of the show. They were more abstract than representational works, but that culminated in a solo show at the Royal Albert Hall. He was sponsoring some event, and we came in and hung the paintings there. So it was nice to say I had a show in the Royal Albert Hall.
John also did quite well in Eurosong, which was Ireland's qualifier for the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yeah, a friend of mine, he was originally in a band called Granny's Intentions. That's going back a while ago. Limerick band, John Ryan. We co-wrote a song together. And John rang me up one day. He said, "I've good news and bad news." He said, "We've got £750 or at the time to record a demo of our song." And I said, "Great." He said, "And we're also in the last 8 of the writers." You know what I mean? And I said, "Grand, lovely." So we demoed the tune, and I tried to get my friend Niamh Kavanagh. She said she would do it, but she was expecting at the time, and I was hoping she'd sing the song for us. So I reluctantly sang it myself. But we did okay. We came second in the Irish Eurosong. We were tipped to win it, but we didn't. We were beaten by... It was around the time of the millennium, 1999, and a song called The Millennium of Love won. So... So that's it. But it was a great experience, and well worth doing.
So what kind of artistic work does John do, and what are the techniques involved?
I call my work a coastal landscape, and it's semi-abstract in nature. The sea, essentially, forms the essence of what I do. Energy is important to me. Texture is important to me. I use a relatively simple palette. I'd never use more than 3, maybe 4 colours, just to keep things under control, to avoid getting the work, making it muddy, for want of a better term. All my work is water-based. I work quite intuitively and energetically. I've tried oil paint. It doesn't suit the energy of what I do. I work rather quickly, and so water-based work dries more quickly, so I can layer more on it, on board, and I can keep things moving, whereas I find with oil paint it takes forever to dry, you know. I always say that it's coastal landscape, and the whole of Tralee Bay, from Ballinskellig, from Dingle Peninsula right around to Kerry Head, it has everything. It is everything for me. So, as I say, the sea is the essence of what I do. I try not to make representational images of the sea or of a wave or of a coastal landscape. It's abstract in nature, so I look for textures to emulate the image or emulate the energy or... Yeah, the brush strokes and marks I make, I try to evoke the sea, evoke the wave, evoke the particular part of the coast I'm trying to paint. So it's more energy-based rather than representational. So I would paint in a flurry, a flurry of strokes, and hope they work out. I would use pieces of stick, pieces of sponge, pieces of cloth, to make marks, spray bottle, just to allow the paint to work as if it was a watercolour. So colours would bleed into one another, they would drip, they would create what I call happy accidents. I'm never sure where a piece is going to lead. For example, there's a piece there, the Phoenix Island Castle. That's a recent painting I did as a commission. I did two there, and the client bought the alternative one. I think they left the best one behind, in my view. But as you can see there, it evokes the sea, it evokes the wave, but it's not representational. There's a lot of, as I explained earlier, using a spray bottle, it allows these marks to happen that you could never paint with a brush. You know, a lot of people who buy my work tend to be from here or expats coming back, you know, around the Christmas or summer. And I get a lot of repeat custom. And invariably, they want something more local, whether it's the lighthouse in Phoenix. That's as representational as I'll get. But maybe, you know, a lot of Banna seascapes. I said a lot of Banna seascapes, particularly the Black Rock or the Small Rock, which people refer to as the Black Rock.
That's John Hurley there, and we'll have more from John after this break.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry. Enjoy a simple, healthy and easy dinner solution with Quinlan's fresh, ready-made seafood meals, available in store.
Now let's return to our series, An Artist's Kingdom, where we are hearing from John Hurley, Tralee-based artist. Movement and the sense of movement is very evident in John's work. This is clear in one of his paintings featuring a tree, and the leaves look like they're moving, almost akin to a murmuring of starlings.
That technique there, as you say, they're almost like starlings. That's created with a technique called spatter, where you'd use an old toothbrush with pigment and water and flick, and you create these beautiful marks that are almost accidental, but there's a lovely life to them. Whereas if you try to paint those marks with a brush, you'd be forever, number one, trying to do it. And number two, you wouldn't have that natural, accidental energy.
John's work is complemented by beautiful frames, which he makes himself.
I have a small story about that. My show in the Origin Gallery with Noel Campbell-Sharp in 2002, I think it was, we sold, I think, the bones of 12,000. Half it went on commission. I had a bill of 3,500 framing, so there wasn't much left. There was enough left for me to buy the framing machines. There's two machines, an underpinner and a guillotine. So that was the best investment I made with the remainder of that money from that show, and I've had them ever since. So everything you see here, I've made myself. So I buy the moulding in bulk, for want of a better term, and which is expensive enough anyway, but I can make a frame for about one third of what it might cost in a professional framer's.
Painting is more than paints and canvas and requires skills and talent and all matter of means. But how important a role does emotion play in John's work?
Yeah, I hope the fact that I sell my work and have sold it relatively consistently for a long time, They're drawn to the work. A lot of people are drawn to the energy of the work. For me, I have to be fired up to paint. I can't just be docile. And now, I have creative blocks, I'm sure, like a lot of people have, but I think mine are pretty long in nature, you know. And it's frustrating. It can be very frustrating. But when you get into a zone and you start painting, as they say, turn up at the page or turn up at the easel just to get moving. I think that's the best way to get over a creative block. I'm doing that as we speak today. But look, it's a blessing to have the skills to do it. And what completes the circle for me is that I can display my own work constantly here in my own premises, my own gallery, and sell an odd one too, you know.
Having his own gallery offers John a unique chance to get instant feedback and interactions on his work.
I have some lovely conversations with many people, including artists, just talking about the work and what piece might they be drawn to now? And I find those conversations inspire me to keep going, inspire me maybe even to change the subject for some, you know, someone might spark something in me. So you have these lovely conversations which you'd never have in a studio at the home, you know. So I think being on the public street, it's there's a harsh reality to it as well, because there's rent and rates to be paid. So sometimes I feel I've become a shopkeeper, you know what I mean? I try to resist that, but there's nothing like a sale of one of your pieces to give you a boost, to keep you going, and to feed you too. What completes the creative circle for me is when I can create a piece and display a piece. A lot of artists don't have that opportunity to display, you know. I think if I sell a piece, it gives me more energy to keep going. Whereas I'm not so sure if I was in the studio at home stocking work that I've painted, you know, and can't move it on or sell it or display it even. I think that's a huge part of the creative process for me.
So who are John's customers?
Most of my customers are based in Tralee or are of, you know, are expats living abroad. I've sent work all over the world, St. Petersburg, everywhere, America, Australia, all over Europe. But so they are my customers, and sometimes I can't believe, you know, that I haven't dried up, you know what I mean? It's you know, sometimes the confidence ebbs and flows like the tide I'm trying to paint. But I'm blessed to have this place. I'm 20 years open this year, believe it or not, yeah.
So are there any of John's pieces that he loves above all else?
I nearly sold that particular piece there recently. That is probably my favourite piece here. It's just a horizon, a foreshore. And it's quite abstract, and using a lot of the techniques I explained to you earlier, like watercolour techniques, a lot of scraping. I used, say, I never throw an old brush away. I just pair it like a quill, and it becomes, I scratch into the surface of the paint, and it creates these lovely marks. And it's a language that I think, if I have a language, that particular piece probably is its essence, I would think. It incorporates quite an amount of those, what I call happy accidents. I use a lot of spatter. And it just is a lovely, for me, it's a lovely feeling of freedom in that piece.
Like many pieces of art, John's are made to last.
Yeah, I sold a piece early this year. It's been hanging here for the bones of 10 years. Yeah, I sold it this year. So unlike a restaurant, it doesn't go off. My products don't go off. At least I hope they don't. But even people show me work that they've bought many years ago, and they show me an image of it, and I always remember each piece. It comes back to me. That was like your children, you know.
And if people want to find out more about John Hurley, where should they go?
I've just put up a new page for the Christmas on my website, hurleyscapes.com. And there's many pieces up there, thankfully sold. And I have a new page of some new pieces available right now.
That was John Hurley there, our first episode of An Artist's Kingdom, and I want to thank John for taking the time to do that, and we'll have another episode next week. Now, after the break, we'll have our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry. Take the fear out of fish and chat to our fishmongers about how to add delicious, easy-to-cook seafood into your menu. Oven and air fryer-ready meals available.
Now, it is the second Saturday of the month, so that means it's time for our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom, where we tell you what's going on in the arts world. And as always, we're joined by Arts Officer with Kerry County Council, Kate Kennelly. Kate, happy Christmas to you, and how are you this morning?
Happy Christmas, Joe, and happy Christmas to all your listeners. That went quickly, didn't it, Joe?
Oh my God, did it. Unbelievable. Yeah, yeah. Unbelievable to think we're into Christmas now. Are you looking forward to it? Are you a Christmassy person?
I am, in ways. I suppose I like being outdoors, so I like any day that I can get out, I'm happy. So if we have a few dry days over Christmas, Joe, it'd be great. But always, of course, the crib in the cathedral is a very special part of Christmas for my family, I suppose. And Mum, as you know, used to lead on that for over 50 years. So, I'm helping out there again this year. So looking forward to that, because it keeps the legacy going, which is important.
Yeah, excellent. So tell us, what have you been up to in the Arts Office with the last month?
Well, Joe, I was reflecting and I said, you know something, October, November, December is nearly the high season for the arts, as opposed to the summer season, which is still very busy. So since I last saw you, Joe, we had the fabulous Daniel O'Connell commemoration event down in the Daniel O'Connell Church in Carsevine with Dr. Gavin Ring and his lovely wife, Nicola, and the Liberator Choir from Carsevine that were fantastic. It was a beautiful, beautiful night and full house below in the church. And that, as you know, is going out on Radio Kerry Christmas Eve. For anyone who wasn't there, they'll have another chance to enjoy it. We also, I was down in Kinmare at the Design Kinmare Festival, which it was amazing. I mean, it was their first year and they had just such a superb line out, great attendances. So they're gung-ho to do it again next year, which is brilliant. We also have our head, the lovely Christy Hennessy 80th birthday commemoration. And that was led by the Cathaoirleach of Tralee MD, Councillor Terry O'Brien, who wanted to do something special to mark if Christy had been with us and turned 80. So it was a lovely night in the Greyhound Bar that was organised by Mark Lean and multiple other musicians. And it was just a fantastic night. And to thank Terry O'Brien and everyone involved there. And I know Clive in the office did great work on it as well. Also then we had the Daniel O'Connell screening in Shamsa, which was fantastic. And I'm trying to think, there are a few exhibitions in the middle of it all. And we had the lovely night in Slieve Lucre, and that's just part of it, Joe. But it's been busy and plenty for all your listeners to go to, I think, in the next few weeks, to keep an eye on the arts page, Kerry Co Arts or arts.kerrycoco.ie. And also, I know you'll be speaking to Angela now, and Shamsa have great programme, St John's, the Carnegie. There's plenty happening around the county. So I'd advise your listeners to make the most of it over the few days, if they have time, over the Christmas.
Excellent. And the arts world is so vibrant. I went along to the Grills Gallery myself. I was opening an exhibition there, Kerry Select, and they had that in the, they had a kind of variation on that in the county buildings in Clarny, and they have it there in the Grills Gallery. It's amazing to see the wonderful artists. And speaking about, yes, speaking in that vein, I'm delighted to say now we're joined by the CEO of Shimsa Tir, Angela Ryan White, to tell us about an artist residency that's going on there called Roots. Angela, you're very welcome. Tell us about this.
Thanks so much, Joe. It's lovely to be on with you. Thanks for having me. So Roots really, I suppose, is to respond to what we felt was an identified need amongst professional artists in Kerry and beyond. It's open to many art forms. So it could be theatre, dance, music, literature, visual arts, circus, interdisciplinary, any art form at all. And what we'd like to do is to offer three residencies where artists can have the time and the space to develop ideas in an environment where they can have the time and the support and the resource to develop new ideas, really, and to bring new ideas to light. So the way it's going to work is The call out is ongoing now at the moment. There's a financial bursary of €2,000 per residency, and that's to support the artist to create in a supportive environment. So we've had huge interest so far, and it's really, I suppose, it's really inspiring to see that there is that appetite to create in the county.
Yeah, I've just finished a documentary series called An Artist's Kingdom, and we kind of profiled 8 artists, and we spoke about the amazing work that's being done in this world for artists. But that was something they were saying, more creative spaces is what they need. So that's wonderful to hear. It's brilliant to hear.
Yeah, I think it's something that I suppose we're really trying to drum home the message that SHIEMSA really is a place of creativity for all people, all walks of life, and for people to feel like that they have a home and a space to call their own. So this is just really, I suppose, the first step in that direction. But so far, I can tell from the amount of emails I've had so far from people with questions around ideas they have, and it's really crossing like a myriad of art forms as well, which is really interesting to see. And people are very enthused to have that opportunity.
Yeah, Kate, this is like bringing a place to life as well, isn't it? It's really kind of all encompassing, which is brilliant to hear.
It really is. And you know, Joe, what keeps a place alive is the people in it. And, you know, Angela obviously has a super team in SHIEMSA, and to have young and emerging and, you know, mid-career and established, have that mix of artists all meeting each other and being able to support each other in network as well, and sharing their work and letting people who are in and out of the building see how they do what they do. And it inspires people, I think, to think that, you know, arts and creativity could be a career for them as well. And it's lovely to see that support in SHIEMSA and in Kerry, because one of the things we come up across the whole time, Joe, from artists is they do need space to make work. They need space to show their work. So this is a really, really positive step forward. And we're delighted with the call out, and we'll help promote it across our channels too. So.
Excellent. And it is some space. I opened an exhibition for Kira Chute, I think it was a year or two ago now, and I just couldn't get over that space. It's just amazing. So, Angela, if people want more information, where should they go?
Sure. So it's all up on the website. So it's shimsatira.com. And if you type in Roots Residency, Shimsatira, you'll get all the information there. We're accepting applications up to the 5th of January, and we will be assessing them in the new year and announcing who the lucky artists are that will be successful in that.
Excellent.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, Angela, thanks a million for coming on, and best luck with that, and continued success in your role with SHIEMSA as well.
Thanks, Joe.
And earlier in the week, Kate, I caught up with Aidan Connolly, who is the Sliabh Lucra musician in residence. And he is the Sliabh Lucra musician in residence again for 2026. So I caught up with him to see how the year went and what is in the pipeline for the year ahead. So, Aidan, how are things? It's a good while since I was speaking to you, and you were kind of undergoing your journey or starting out in your journey as Sliabh Lucra musician in residence. And you're so good, you're going on for another year. So how has it been, and what are your hopes going forward?
Hello, Joe. Thanks very much. And hello to your listeners. And thanks very much for coming back to me. It's been a fantastic year working as Sliabh Lucra musician in residence. It's been great. I've been fortunate enough to travel around lots of different parts of Sliabh Lucra and meet loads of great people and be involved with teaching young people and hear some great music. So I'm delighted with it so far, how it's gone.
Excellent. And what are you hoping for going into 2026?
I suppose widening out, maybe. I've been lucky enough to have done lots of workshops and organised concerts and stuff with the help of people in different communities over the years. So just hope to keep that going. For example, this Saturday now, the 13th of December, be a work in Kilcummin in the community hall in Kerry. I'll be at the UCC Tradfest. I think that's February. I'll be in Killarney in January. Lots of kind of plans coming together. So yeah, keep there are free workshops going on at least once a month, if not twice a month. All that information is on the Facebook page and that's Sliabh Lucra Music Trail. If anyone looks that up, they'll find it. There's a website also.
I
suppose we had a great night there at the beginning of November in Scartaglen, where we had a kind of renewal concert for the residency. We'd a fantastic night's music, and that'll be broadcast shortly on RTE Radio 1 Rolling Wave programme, so that'll give people a flavour of what's been going on and what to expect next.
Excellent. What's the state or the health of Sliabh Lucra music within the region, and then I suppose within the county here of Kerry?
I think it's in great nick, Joe. There's an unbelievable standard and crop of young musicians coming up, you know, like we've kids there from from the age of 10 all the way up to, you know, early 20s, and playing great stuff and showing a great interest. So I suppose anything I can do in terms of maybe supporting an infrastructure where there are events going on regularly, where people can come and learn and play and interact with one another, is all to the good. I suppose the kind of pub culture is different now than maybe what it was 20 years ago when maybe I was learning music and that in Dublin. So I suppose maybe the likes of organised workshops and things might just help to stimulate that and just keep people going. But I think it's in great nick. There's some fantastic young players out there.
Very good. Now, it would be remiss of us not to hear a piece of music off you. So you brought some music with you. So what are we going to hear from you? And this will take us to the break.
Thanks very much, Joe. Yeah, so myself and Brian O'Leary, he's a great accordion player and very much steeped in the Steve Lukather music tradition. We just brought out an album called The Groves of Guinea Gwilla. And I think you're going to play a couple of tunes off that album.
Excellent. Well, continued success, Aidan. We'll check in with you again next year. But for now, happy Christmas. And like I said, continued success.
And happy Christmas to you and all your listeners. Thanks very much.
Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across Kerry. Supplement your diet with a healthy and fresh dinner option. Fresh seafood from Quinlan's.
This is Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom, letting you know what's going on in the arts world. Kate Kennelly, Arts Officer with Kerry County Council, is still with us. And Kate, you want to tell people about the grants that are available now?
Absolutely. So for 2026, Joe, and we've mentioned this on the last show as well, but just to clarify again for your listeners, so the deadline for the arts funding from Kerry County Council, so the Arts Act grant and the Artist Bursaries and Awards, the Artist in School Scheme and new theatre funding. And under the Artist Bursaries and Awards, there's a Creative Work Development Bursary, there's a Further Arts Education Bursary, there's an Artist Retreat Bursary. So the deadline for all of those is the 16th of December at 5 o'clock. So Joe, people can apply online. There's it's under the Kerry County Council's website. There's consult.ie, or if they're having any difficulty with that, they can download the application form and email it into arts@kerryco.ie. We do not accept any applications after the deadline, because you have to be fair to everyone. So look, the deadline is 5 o'clock on the 16th. But just to throw it out there as well, our Creative Ireland Kerry community grants for next year were just advertised earlier this week. We advertised them on the 9th. So the deadline is the 22nd of January. So for people who are looking to do community-based projects where there is creative engagement towards well-being, and it's all about the participation, Joe, it's about being involved, and it can be across any creative discipline. So it's wider than the arts, in that, you know, in the arts you have music, dance, drama, literature, film, you have architecture, opera, you have circus arts, you have multidisciplinary, you have digital art. But across the other side of the creativity, you have on the craft side, So anything to do with creative industries, also Irish language heritage fall under Creative Ireland. So any project at all. And if Joe, if your listeners want to have a look at the creativeireland.ie site and go to the Kerry page, they can see what was funded over the last 2-3 years and have an idea of you know, where the funding usually goes. So what people need to demonstrate is that there is a professional creative person involved with the project. That's really important, because one of the key goals of our strategy, Joe, is to support creative people to live and work in the county. And then the other aspect, and equally as strong, is the participation. So we want communities involved, any ages. It doesn't, numbers aren't really the big deal. It's about the quality of the engagement. So you can have a small group, you can have a large group. This year we had a bit, we had mixes of everything and all ages, and the feedback has been just fantastic. So, and just to be aware, it is a competitive fund. So last year there was 32 submissions received funding, but there was another maybe 20 disappointed. But look, that's the way it goes. And I always encourage people to apply, because if you don't get it 1 year, it doesn't mean you won't get it again on any given year. It depends on the quality of what comes in. So keep applying. The money's there, and we love to support activity that's happening and people want to make happen in the county. And Joe, just to say a big thank you to you as well for covering so much this year, but also to all the arts festivals and events, the artists, the organisations, everyone who's made the county as creative and vibrant as they did in 2025. We couldn't do our work without them, and we really appreciate all the support. And of course, the councillors and all the team inside in Kerry County Council as well, because they're so supportive and so positive about what we do, and it makes the world of a difference, Joe.
Well said, Kate Kennelly, and happy Christmas to you, and thanks a million. It was a pleasure. It is a pleasure to have you on here the second Saturday of every month, and you do a great job informing people of what's going on and coordinating all of it as well, and it's so needed. It's great for the heart and the soul of the county, the work you're doing. So a very happy Christmas to you and your family, Kate, and to all in the Arts Office there in Kerry County Council, and I look forward to speaking to you in the new year.
Thank you, Joe, and the same to you and your family and to all your listeners and their families. It's a lovely time of year, isn't it, to enjoy the good and the blessings we have in our lives. So thank you so much, Joe.
Yeah, well said. That's all we have time for on the programme this morning. My thanks to Abigail Bernard, who was on sound. Francis is on the way, so keep it here on Radio Kerry. I'll be back again next Saturday from 9 a.m. Until then, look after yourself and take care.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry. Because at least one day of the weekend should involve someone else doing all the cooking. Order your delicious takeaway from Quinlan's today.